and your pastor. All right, let's go right to our Bibles, Luke chapter number 19. When I put a plug in for you that don't normally come for some reason, well, that's not meant to be sarcastic, but if you do want to take it that way, you can. But we put a plug in for our Sunday school. We had an activity yesterday for our Sunday school. Bummer, I lost. There was cheating among us. Yeah, they were driving off like, man, somebody pulled in front of me. Like, what is going on? We had an amazing race brought to us by our church. Brother Kelly and Ms. Suzanne put that together. Wow, that was very, 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 very well done. Very nice. And it tested some of our spirits. And I prevailed. I think I was good. My wife only yelled at me several times. So I was fine. No, go over here. No. But Kia and Judea was on my team, so they knew Buffalo. But when we got down to North Collins into Bennett Beach, they said, where in the world are we? This is a roller coaster ride. They were not used to all those windy country roads. But we had a great time. I encourage you, join our Sunday school. All right? Be a part of Sunday school. And some of you guys were busy yesterday doing other things. Some were getting ready for this afternoon, so I'm be mindful of the time because we do have food, and you can smell it from the vents coming up, and either that way or this way, I can go really quick, so we will be mindful of the time. So Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 11 and to verse number 13. Sunday school is just an hour early from the service. 10 o'clock it starts. You can come and be a part of our Sunday school. All right, Luke chapter number 19, are we there? If you're there, may I ask, if you're able to, bodily, for honor of God's word, would you please stand, and we'll read verse number 11, Luke chapter number 19. If you're not able to stand, you can sit, but look at Luke chapter number 19, verse number 11 to verse number 13. And here's what the Bible says. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, and here's the phrase we get our message this morning, occupy till I come. Lord, we come to you this morning asking for your guidance. Please, Holy Ghost, you be the preacher this morning. May you hide me as an instrument of your righteousness, Lord. May you hide me behind the cross. May you be the one seen and heard tonight, this morning. Lord, bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. For those that might not know who we are, we're missionaries out of this church. So I grew up in this church. I got saved in Virginia, came here and was baptized there in that baptistry by our pastor, Pastor Cole. When I was 13 years of age in 1998, things were different back then. I was smaller. But anyways, other good things, right? And then in 2012, I skipped a lot of there, but this is where I learned to be a soul winner. Going with Pastor Seth at Casanova Park. I was in Casanova Park because my wife had an appointment at Mercy, and nobody wants to babysit our kids. I don't understand why. But anyways, so I took them at the Casanova Park. And I played with my kids at the places Pastor Seth and I would witness every Saturday. So that was amazing. That was a great week for me. And I told my kids, this is where we used to soul win. There was nobody there. It's not like back then, there'd be skaters all over there. But not today, not that day at least. But there was people there, but not the people we were witnessing to at the time. But neat memories. And so went to the Philippines in 2012, but before that I picked up a wife. So, and I think her family might be coming here sometime in the future here for a baptism. But anyways, you'll meet some of them. But her mom and dad are pastors down south that affiliate with our church when we go to summer camp. Some of you guys have been to summer camp and winter camp. And when she saw me, she just had to have me. So it was all set. Yeah. It was all gone after that. She's still rejoicing, right? Still rejoicing. I given her, Lord, you know, Lord, 4th child on the way next month. So pray for us. It's another one. Here it comes. But anyways, been very blessed. So this church has been right at the very forefront of my Christianity, always. And even as a missionary in the Philippines, you guys held the ropes here as we did the work there. And there'll be people watching right now because you sent a missionary all the way across the other side of the world. And we have another missionary family, the Dyes. I like to mention them a lot. They're in PNG right now doing the same thing, sent from this church. Maybe young people or older people, God may work on you, send you somewhere. Don't get nervous. It's good. It's okay. All right? Luke chapter number 19, verse 11. We already read it. Talking about the idea of occupy till I come. And this is the idea that Jews were having a hard time. They believed that Jesus should have came as the king and established his kingdom right away. But Jesus did not come as a king. He came as a lamb. Later he'll come as a king. All right? He'll come as a lion. But right now, he came as a king because he had to defeat a foe. And that foe is Satan and sin and death and hell. And so he, as our sacrificial lamb, died for us and to win the greatest victory of all victories. Victory over sin and death. Wow. Very, 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 very amazing thing what Jesus did. But the disciples missed that. They thought he was coming to get rid of the Romans. But that's not what he did. And he gave us a parable here. And he gave us this thought. And the word occupy, you only find it a couple of times in Scripture. And only once said it this way. When he says, occupy till I come. Meaning about himself coming back. Right? We know Jesus Christ is coming back. We've been learning prophecy. We're going to learn it again tonight. So I encourage you to come back tonight. And you'll learn more about what the Lord is doing at the end times. It's exciting times we live in. We're seeing some of these things more real than ever before. And so we see that Christ is coming. There is a promise of the second coming. Okay, it will come. All right, it's happening before our eyes. Look at the thought of occupy. When you look at it in a dictionary, it means to take possession of and retain or to keep, hold, all right, to be in, okay, to fill something or have, all right? The opposites of these are to leave, to abandon, all right, to quit. I thought it was a fitting topic to deal with this morning with this idea of occupy. We'll look at a couple of words in scriptures, I think, that fits this idea of what the Bible says to occupy. As Christians, Christ is coming back. And that's great news for us that are saved, but there's things that we need to do before he comes. And that's what he says, occupy till I come. Hold on to some things. Keep some things. Stand on some things. Protect some things. Fight for some things. Why? Because the world is getting worse and worse and worse. Before God takes us home, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And guess what? The truth will be attacked more and more and more. 10 years ago when we left, we were not talking about same-sex marriage. 10 years before we left, we were not talking about transgender or even that whole idea of we're confused what a man is and what a woman is. That was not talked about. Now, before I was born in the 60s, they decided to take away some truths Christians should have held on to, like prayer and Bible and the sanctity of life. Abortion, Roe versus Wade. And you find the world slipping and slipping and slipping away from the truth. As the lady said today, we stand on what? On the fact that Christ died for us. The fact that he is our fighter. That he is our Lord and Savior. And with that, we have a message. And Christ has a message. The message of salvation, yes. Something we all need and we should have. If you're lost today, you don't not know for sure that heaven is your home. You can know that today through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He says, come unto me. And you will find Jesus to save your soul. But he did not just save us. He made us a believer And in the book of Timothy, I believe he likens a Christian as a soldier. And this idea of occupy is a military term we use today to occupy. Okay? And so, let me look at the practical things regarding this, the idea of occupy. Being Roundup Sunday, summer has gone by, vacations have been done, school is back. It's a good reset, right? It's a good time to reset. Hey, let's do what's important. It was fun to go swimming. It was fun to go fishing. It was fun to go do this and do that and go there. But we're back where we need to be. And now we need to do what we need to do. The important things of life. And that's the idea of a Roundup Sunday. So this is Roundup Sunday. What better thought to say, occupy, Christian, because Christ is coming back. And what is the idea of occupy? I'll give you a couple of words, and we'll continue this morning. Number one, it means to stand. When you occupy a place, that means you're putting up stake and saying, this is where it needs to be. Boom. I need to stand for what I believe in this place. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm going to read a lot of verses. If I'm going too fast, you just go ahead and write the reference somewhere and you can read it later. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 1 through verse 17. Okay? I'm going to get you in a timely passion. You're going to eat and you're going to be happy. All right? Now we beseech you, brethren, it's talking to the Christians, okay? By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians dealt a lot about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? So here it comes. And by our gathering together unto him. That's wonderful. He's coming and we're going to be together with him. Okay? That ye be not soon shaken in mind. Why would he say these words after that? Because there's some hard things coming before Christ gets us back. There's going to be bad things that's going to happen before Christ gets us back. Okay? The truth you stand on, as the song was sang wonderfully, what a blessing. God's saying that you stand on those truths that you have been taught and that you know. We'll read it here. Look at verse number 2 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Pastors keep saying, don't be troubled. It's going to get bad before it gets good for us. But 1 Thessalonians 4 is still true. He will still catch us up and we won't have to go through the tribulation. Okay? So don't be troubled. Neither by spirit. Don't be emotionally shaken. Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Even the letter we wrote to you, 1 Thessalonians, they got all scared and they sold everything and they got together and they said, what now? Because you taught us that Christ is coming back, so what's good about all these things? They learned the truth, right? The things of this life is not as dear when you realize the truth that Christ is coming back. Let's not do what they did, okay? And they got rid of everything they got. But let us, in principle, do the same thing. Okay? Let us not be so focused on life on her. It's good to have a nice house. Fix it up. Paint it up. Decorate it. Get your yard so nice if you want. Buy yourself a car if you want to do that. But don't be so focused on those things. Because we're going to leave all those behind. Okay? Don't leave the spiritual things undone. Have those things. There's no problem with that. Go see Mount Rushmore. Go to the Grand Canyon if you can. Go see all those things. But those are the main things that we should be focused on. Look at this. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? Who opposeth and exalted himself, talking about this Antichrist that will come, but we will be gone before that happens. Okay? Or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. That's why a preacher preaches the same thing over and over sometimes. Why? Because you forget. Paul did the same thing. So don't mind us preachers that we say the same thing, because sometimes you forget. How do we know? Well, you're not doing what we're saying. All right, let me see this. You asked. I just gave it to you. All right? Showing himself that he is God. Verse number 6. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity that already work. That idea of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is amongst us already. There's people against Christ. There's people against Christ's church. There's people against the preacher of the gospel. There's people against establishment of Christianity. They're against all of it. You see it. Okay? I don't have to tell you. You see it right now. Look at verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, knows how to lie, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not. How do you perish? Look at it, tells you why you're perished. Because you receive not the love of the truth. You don't know the truth that Jesus Christ is your only salvation. Look at it, that they might be saved. You know what? The only thing keeping you from getting saved, if you're not this morning, is you. Because the truth is, Jesus can save you. And all you have to do is accept that truth and believe it. That's it. Look at this. verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. How do you get saved? By believing the truth. Okay? And the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and seals you as children of God. Okay, look. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you get to heaven? Because we all come short, but we believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thus, we can enter God's glory. Look at it again, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, here's the word, stand fast. What is this all talking about? Christ is coming. What do we need to do before he comes? We need to be found standing fast. Look, and hold the traditions which you have been taught. What traditions? The things that you've been taught. I'm losing my place here. Okay, verse 15. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the people that God used to write the Bible. He said, what? Hold fast, stand fast to those truths you've been taught by them. Even to the point of what? The traditions that they do. I'm going to hit millennials. I'm going to hit you hard. I've heard this, and I've heard it a lot. We don't do it because it's not clearly said in Scripture we should do it that way. But I warn you. Research why we establish certain traditions that is taught with Bible principle backing it before you remove the landmark. Before you don't want to go to the altar because the Bible says don't go to the altar, you better search it out why we go to the altar. Am I being clear to some of you millennials? I'm tired of it because what happens is you slip away from the truth. There's things that you're doing that I never thought to do 10 years ago. Okay, that didn't go well, but that's fine. There's food later. Okay? Don't make fun of these old people in your mind. Well, they just did it because that was what they were. They did it. Figure out why there is a Sunday school before you remove it. Find the idea of a bus ministry biblically before you have the right to say it's no longer needed. Am I saying things too clearly? Okay, I am. Let's go. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold. It didn't say commandments. It didn't say the law. It says the word traditions. There's some traditions worth holding on for. I'm a millennial. I'm a realist. I don't like just doing things by the motion. I don't. So when I'm saying this, I mean what I'm saying to you. There's some things we should not be doing. Yes, I understand that. But there's some things, don't get rid of it because it works. Leave it there. You have no reason to take it out. A lot of people, the ones taking it out, what you're really doing is you're walking away from Bible truth. And you don't even know it. Just slipping. Well, it's not in the Bible. It doesn't clearly say that in there. So I'm not going to do that. Well, tell me why you're doing what you're doing by the Bible and Bible principle. That's a better stand on that thing. Well, the Bible doesn't say it, so that gives me the right to do it. Lame, millennials. Lame. So lame. Give me Bible principles to justify why you're doing what you're doing. Because I live by principles, and I try to justify what I do by this book. All right, that, I don't know why I'm stuck here. I cannot move on. I need to try to move on. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us, verse 16, and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And these words should what? Comfort your hearts. And here's a word that we don't like. We like comfort, but we don't like this next word. The next word means to establish you in every good word and work. Guys, God is not interested in your comfort, just your comfort. He's interested in you being used for his honor and his glory. And the way he can use you is to establish you in the truth. Guys, I'm not going to build a building if the pillars that support that building is not established, because it will crumble someday. I need that to be stable so that I can build on it. God wants us as Christians to be stable. And then secondarily, the comfort comes. Guys, before we worry about AC, before we worry about heating, before we worry about the carpet, before we worry about the pews, before we worry about all the comfort, what is the foundation of this building? What is the pillar that supports this structure? I think those are more important, right, in the building process rather than this. You ask engineers. They're not going to talk about this yet until that is done. Correct? God wants us to be established. Why? Because there's going to be enemies that will be knocking at the door and that will be blasting through you, trying to destroy you. There will be ideas, philosophy, teachings. Guys, we should not be so shocked that when they took away the Bible and they took away prayer, they took away God, they brought in humanism. They needed to take away God so they can bring in humanism. That's why you have evolutionists. And that's why they teach that garbage. And you believe it. All right? Ephesians 6:10 to verse number 18. What am I talking about when I mean occupy? I'm talking about stand on some truths you've learned. And don't waver. Don't waver. Stand on them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You can't do it yourself. You need God to stand. Put the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, is clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I think Ephesians is clear enough to us. Stand, my goodness, stand. And the first one says in verse 14, stand therefore. Stand. What are you standing for? What truth you're holding on to? What truth that is so valuable to you? You're not going to let it slip. You're not let the world take it from you. Here's Alexander Hamilton. Quote, he was actually the first Secretary of Treasury, I think under Washington. He's on a $10 bill. I found out Sunday school. He's there. He said this quote, "If you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything." Christians, we have the truth. We don't have to look for it. There's not another new prophecy out there. No, it is all here. And whatever the preacher, when he preaches from this word, you treasure it. You hold on to it. You keep it in memory. You keep it in your heart. You live it in your life. You do it in your life. And keep it and stand on it. People will go against you. They'll make fun of you. They'll criticize you. They'll look at you strange. Why are you doing that? But you need to stand on this word. Or you'll fall along with the world. You'll follow them. Whether you like it or not. Because if you don't stand, you'll fall and you just drip away with them. And follow them to wherever they're going to go. Number two, another idea of occupy. Time is a slipping. Steadfast. Stay. Stay. Guys, when you know there is truth, stay there. When you find that the truth is honored and the truth is sanctified and the truth is respected and the truth is followed and the truth is exemplified, try to, by the Holy Spirit's power in their lives, stay in that place. Too many people are walking out the church doors. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where's the truth? The truth out there? They're going to help you out there? They promise a lot of stuff, don't they? They promise a lot of stuff. If you do this and do this, you'll be successful. If you do this, you do this, you'll be successful. You do this, you'll be successful. At the end of it, what happens? Their principle does not stand on the principle of the Word of God. And so you get discouraged. And you know where you find yourself? Those that have experienced this, going to the world thinking that's a better place to be. Guess where you come? You come back to the church. You come back to the truth. Because the truth of God's Word does not move. The Bible says a husband, marriage is between a man and a woman. It'll never change. It'll be the same. 100 years from now, it'll be the same. When you go ahead and try out their idea of what it is, that they don't even know what bathroom to use, you try it out. You go out there and try it out. When you come to your senses, you'll come back. The prodigal son knew where to come back. You'll come back. You'll find that the truth of God's word stands. And you can find a place here. Be steadfast. For though I be absent in the flesh, Colossians 2, verse number 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Where do you thrive? Where there is truth. Where do you feel free? When the Bible says the truth shall make you free. Where do you find health? When somebody tells you the truth. Not lying to you. Not trying to get money out of you. Not trying to deceive you. Not to get one over on you. But it's simply just trying to tell you, this is what God says. I trust God. God has always been true with what he says. If you do it God's way, I guarantee you God will be blessing you. That's it. But we walk away from it. And we try it out all over the place. When God says, just be steadfast. Just stay. Stay where you know you're being told the truth. No reserves. Just giving it to you. Pastor has been preaching for how many years? Does he not use Bible when he preaches, guys? He uses the Bible. Lots of it. So why walk away? The truth is where you need to be. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put in immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall be put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Talking about the second coming, and we're going to get all these things. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of this truth, that Christ is coming back, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Christ is coming back, as it says in Luke chapter number 19. God says, occupy till I come. What should you be doing? You should be standing for the truth, not slipping away from it. You should be what? You should be steadfast. I'll give you the last two, because our time is gone. You should serve. Number three. Okay? The verse says it already there. Your labor is not vain in the Lord. You should stand for the truth. You should stay where it's true. And then you should serve. Do something about the truth. Lost people are dying. Guess what? The only solution is what? You tell them about Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what God chose. He's not going to change now. It still takes a human being to get another human being to understand Christ can save them. It's going to be you. Serve. I don't have the time. It talks about in 1 Corinthians 16:13-16, it talks about that there was a family in the house of Stephanus. What did they do? They addicted themselves into the ministry. And the idea there in verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like man, be strong. Don't quit to becoming a man, but it says to be a man. That's what that word phrase means. You know what it takes for you to stand? Put away childish things. Put away things that are pity. That you, I don't like, the AC's not on, it's hot in that place. They didn't make that spaghetti right. Why did they put that in there? Those are pity things. Get rid of those. Be a man. This church is trying to get the gospel across the world. Get in that. Get in that. October, it's coming. Mission conference. You have missionaries that are out of your church. Come on, guys. Let's do it. Let's serve the King of Kings. I don't have time. Romans 12:1-2. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Number four. So we need to stand. We need to what? Stay. Be steadfast. We need to serve. Number four. We need to separate ourselves. Why? Because we have an enemy. Guys, you can't be chummy-chummy with the enemy and expect to stand. They're going to distract you. They're going to deter you. They're going to get you to be friends with them so they can destroy you. Don't be hanging around the world. The Bible is clear. Look at this. Galatians 5 in verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. Am I talking about this already? And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. As a Christian, before Christ comes back, what will you be doing? You need to occupy. What does that mean? Stand. That means stay. That means serve. That means don't entangle yourself with this world and the sin and the devil. Get away from it. Get away from it. Get away from it. Get away from the influence of that internet. Get away from it. Separate yourselves. Look at Psalm 73 verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. Pastor preached a message about ASAP. Here's the verse. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? Because he was paying attention to the world. He was watching the world. He was looking at their life. He was envious at what they were having and what he wasn't. But then what happens? He got into the right place. Psalm 73 verse 17. Until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then I understood I therein. How many more stories do you need? How many more people You need to go out into the world and find yourself coming back to church and saying, it's not worth it to go out there before you stay and not go. Young people, how many more people do you need? How many people you need to hear about that need to go out in the world and then come back saying to you the same thing? It's not worth it out there. This is where it is. Before you just buckle down and stay. Well, I don't like the place. Do something about it to make you like the place. All right, my time is gone. Five. Shine. Shine. Look at Philippians 1:27. I'm skipping a bunch of verses. It's okay. You know your Bible. Just do it. I'm going to take that from Nike. Shine. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh, the way you live your life. It should be bringing a message. And what is the message? The gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear you of your affairs. I hear about what you're doing. That ye stand fast in one spirit. Oh, this kind of joins in with our unity session there. With one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Matthew 5, in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What are you supposed to be doing before Christ is coming? We're going to hear about it again tonight. Christ is coming. What are we supposed to be doing? Roundup Sunday. Occupy. God says, occupy, son. Occupy, daughter. Stay. Hold on to the truth. Stand. Stand for the Bible. Don't let somebody tell you it's not relevant. It's so relevant they don't even know it. It's relevant. My goodness. It's helping me raise my children. It's helping my wife be the right wife she should be. That was slick, wasn't it slick? Guys, it's okay to smile at the church because you have the truth. You can stand on it. You can stay in it. You can serve in it. My goodness, you can separate yourselves from the world. You know what the truth about it is? If the world really knew what you had, they will want it. They really would want it. Let them know what you really have. Don't flower it up. Tell them. Tell them how your life was ruined. What a testimony my dad and my mom. I can't tell you all of it. I don't want to embarrass them, but what a testimony of God's amazing grace. And so you are you, some of you, if you know some of the people's testimony here, you'll be shocked. You'll be just totally blown away how God can mend the broken and can use them mightily. Look at Luke 18 and verse 8. I'm almost done. I have to have an invitation, so hold on. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, here's a question. Shall he find faith on the earth? May I encourage Faith Bible Baptist Church. May we be people in Christians that when Christ come back, you're singing the same hymns. You're listening to the same word of God being preached. You're praying the same way. You're evangelizing the same way. Yes, there's techniques and methodology you can use. I have no problem with that, but you need to go soul winning. We need to reach the lost. It does not change. You can text, yes, text it away. You can do it, podcast it away. Do whatever you want to do. But it needs to be preached. It still needs to be proclaimed. It still needs to reach those people. May I ask you the question? Will you be here if Christ comes? Will you be here, Christian? Will you be here? 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Search it out. Find out the truth. And live by the truth. That's the idea of prove all things. Make sure it's true. Don't just bite every wind of doctrine you hear because you'll be blown away and carried away by it. We should not be carried away. We should be strong. We should stand. okay? Hold fast that which is good. That's the Bible. I don't know. Has God proven himself to you that he is it? So why you keep letting him go and grabbing onto all these things in this life, trying to supplement your need of him? Nothing can exchange God in your life, in your marriage, in your individual Christian life. You cannot exchange Christ. He is what you need. And may I ask you today, are you occupying? Or are you being carried away? Are you standing? Are you staying? Are you serving? Are you separated? And my goodness, are you shining? Let that light shine. You know what? The world always wants to be different. But they're always the same. But you are truly different. And you always are afraid to show it. Let your light shine. Embrace the difference that Christ made in your life. Don't neglect it. Don't say, I don't want to be different. I don't want to be made fun of. No, embrace it. When you embrace it, you see life change around you. You see people change. You see families come to church. You see families get saved. You see a whole litter of children that they bring to Christ, get baptized, get saved, and be in the church. How do you know that? Well, praise the Lord, I've seen part of it in my life in the Philippines. And guess what? If he can do it there, guess what? He can do it here. And he has done it here. And he can do it again. Lord, we come to you. I preach what you wanted me to preach. I preached it with authority as you want me to. Lord, I pray that no one was offended by the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that no one was angered by the truth they heard. But Lord, may they run to you. And as the pianist plays, and as I ask everybody to please stand, if you're able to, close your eyes, bow your heads. If you want to do business with the Lord, you say, well, I've not been where I used to be. I've slipped. I used to come to church, now I don't. Well, maybe you can say, well, today I want to make that right. I want to make a dedication. The altar's not special in here in the sense that it's going to do miracles for you, but it is a show of your heart to God in a form of being humbled and saying, God, I need help. And as others are coming, won't you come and make some decisions? We have time. The food is ready. We'll pray right away and then we'll go down. But if you want to talk to God, you can come. People are coming. You can come. I don't want to force you. We don't want to make an emotional decision. We wanted a spiritual one. But maybe you're slipping. Ask yourself this. I used to be reading my Bible every day and now I read it once a week. Then you're slipping. You're not standing on the truth. Well, maybe I used to go to church, but now I'm not going as much. Well, you're slipping. Maybe you need to start to be faithful in church. Maybe you used to give. You used to go soul winning and pass out gospel tracts and you're not doing that today. Maybe you should again. Let's occupy till Jesus comes. I'm going to turn it to our pastor.
Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Mac Lynch once wrote a poem, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love, the unfailing kind, oh, be not ashamed of his way. No man that seeketh after things of this life is a soldier who passes the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be serving, be searching his word for his best. Living or dying, may honor be thine from this wretched life you loved and forgave. A life that is on fire, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful every day, though we live though we die. Father, we thank you for the message we've heard today, the challenge to be steadfast, to stand, to serve, to shine, even to smile in a place that's a world that's lost its joy and is filled with fear. God, help us to be devoted to thee. Thank you for those that have come today. Lord, maybe somebody would be revived and become faithful. Tend with us, serve with us, go forward with us. Lord, maybe somebody here needs to be saved. We pray they would just simply call on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as their Savior, believing he died on the cross for their sins and was buried and rose again. Thank you for Pastor Chris, his family. Continue to use them in a great way as they go forward too. Now, Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon the food we're about ready to receive. We thank you for making it for us and getting it here. Amen. Because your hand is always in all the food we eat. Lord, we thank you for those that have been here a long time preparing it for us. Bless them too. Amen. And Lord, dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray, and we ask it.